recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight from Monsignor Gerard O'Connor. He is the rector at St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception here in Portland.
Today we're celebrating another one of those feasts that overrides a Sunday in ordinary time. It's the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. And this is classed as a feast of the Lord. And feasts of the Lord, things like Christ the King, something like that, override or have precedence over Sundays in ordinary time, or even Sundays in Christmas. And this is another one. So we miss our 32nd Sunday of ordinary time for this dedication. So I thought I'd explain what this feast is all about. It's a feast of the Lord because St. John Lateran, the church in Rome, the dedication that we celebrate, was originally called Christ the Savior Church. And thus, it's always been classed as the Feast of the Lord. That's why it takes precedence here. Later on in the Middle Ages, it was called St. John the Baptist, and that's where we get the name St. John Lateran. It is not actually, there is no person called St. John Lateran. It's just the fact that this church was the first major Christian building after the Edict of Milan, which was the edict which said that Christianity could exist without persecution in the Roman Empire, and it was built and dedicated in the year 324. The land in Rome is called the Lateran because it was the Laterani family in the 4th century that gave the land to the church to build this edifice of St. John Lateran. So that's, and I always laugh at this because there's no such person as St. John Lateran. It's a building, right? And so when we're in the seminary, after meals, one of the deacons would always end with a prayer. And if it's a feast day of a saint that day, you always say, St. Mary Magdalene, pray for us, right? Or St. Thomas Aquinas, pray for us. Well, it was the 9th of November, so the poor deacon said, St. John Lateran. And everyone went, pray for us, sort of, because everyone knew it's not a saint, right? It's a building. So it made a bit of a mistake. So that's where we come to a little bit of history about the church. The first major church, or the first real great edifice in Christendom at that time. So it was dedicated in 324. So we're celebrating about 1700 years of this church. It's important to us in many, many different reasons, but one is this, is that it is the cathedral church of the Pope. The Pope is the Bishop of Rome. This is the Cathedral of Rome, St. John Lateran. Many people think it's St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, of course. That's where the Pope lives. But his cathedral church is St. John Lateran. And as it being the cathedral church of the Holy Father, it is the mother of all churches. It is the mother church of the whole Catholic Church throughout the world. For instance, this church is the cathedral church of the Archbishop of the Diocese of Portland in Oregon. It is the mother church of all the archdiocese. Likewise, John Lateran is the mother church of Rome, but because the Bishop of Rome is also the Pope, the head of the whole Catholic Church, it is our mother church. So we celebrate this feast today in that sense, that it is the mother church of the Catholic Church. So it's a very important feast to us. You know, the popes lived in the Lateran for the first 800 years. No, probably 1,000 years, perhaps. And then when the papacy moved to Avignon, when they came back to Rome, they moved to the Vatican. So really, the popes have lived in the Lateran for about 1,000 years compared to only 600 years or so in the Vatican. But we always associate St. Peter's with the Mother Church, and it's not. It's St. John Lateran. And it was the first church built in 324 after Constantine allowed Christianity to survive in the Roman Empire. And so it makes a big, it's an important feast for us, and that's why it takes over this Sunday. It was built as part of three other churches in Rome, St. Peter's Basilica, Mary Major, and St. Paul Outside the Walls. Under the influence of Constantine's mother. Constantine was the emperor. He was a great emperor. He was morally bankrupt. He wasn't a great guy in that sense. But he loved his mother, which all good emperors should, and his mother had converted to Christianity, and she persuaded him to build these churches for the Christians. So up until that point in the early church, there were no churches, no public displays of practice of religion, of course, because the Christians were persecuted. So they couldn't build a church, they couldn't let everybody know where they were going on Sunday mornings, because they'd come and be persecuted, of course, and wiped out. So after the Edict of Milan, these churches, funded by Constantine and his mother, these massive edifices, by the way, which still exist today, were built for the Christians, basically. And then the burgeoning of the Christian religion moved, and the Catholics built all the other churches going around the world, etc. So it's a very important feast from that. But the analogy is what St. Paul tells us, of course. These churches are houses of worship. They're places where we come to encounter God. You know, this is his dwelling place, as all temples. And we read in the reading from Ezekiel and St. Paul, this idea of a dwelling place of God. And then St. Paul takes this one further and says, remember, you are temples as well. As baptized Christians, God dwells in you. Not just the Trinity, not just the Holy Spirit, but the Trinitarian dwelling is in you. You are a temple. And so he uses this beautiful analogy. And then many saints have gone on and Caesarius of Arles writes in today's Office of Readings, if you're a temple, when you go to your temples, he says, do you expect them to be dirty? Do you expect them to be filth on the floor? No, you expect them to be pristine and beautiful and well-kept. And he says, you are a temple. Make sure your soul is clean and well kept and in good condition for the dwelling of the Lord. You know. So throughout history, we've used this analogy of the temple, the dwelling place of the Lord, in a physical building, and also in the analogy of the soul, of course, that the Lord dwells within us in those points of views. So it's very important. And then we see in today's gospel, the Lord is reminding us as well that these temples, these cathedrals, these churches are places of prayer. The book of Isaiah tells us, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And the Lord has zeal for the house of God. And that's why he pushes out the traders that have encroached into the temple area. Which is, you know, you think about this in the sort of times in Jerusalem. All good Jews went back to Jerusalem at least once a year to offer sacrifices at the high feasts, right? So wherever you were in the ancient world, you're making a trip back to Jerusalem. And this might take you weeks and weeks to get there. It might take you days if you're in Egypt or something. But if, you know, you're in other parts of the world, but you'd go. So you can imagine when you go to offer sacrifice at the temple on the high feast, you're going to need to change some money because you don't live in Israel. You're going to need to buy some, oxen or doves or whatever it is that you're going to sacrifice. You're going to need lodging. You're going to need water and food and, you know, all the things. So you can imagine that this is a massive organization of trade. You know, and when there's a need like that, people come in and take advantage, don't they? Of, you know, perhaps hiking up the cost of, bagels that week because you got, you know, the people are coming into Jerusalem for the feast days and things like this. So this is all happening, and it's got to happen. But the Lord is saying, no, you've encroached into the temple, the dwelling place of God. That's why he turns over the tables for the money changers and those selling things. They've come into the temple area. He says, get out. You've turned my father's house into a marketplace. That's what he's annoyed about. Because we remember all the time that these places, these beautiful edifices that we've built, are fundamentally one thing. They are houses of prayer. They're an encounter with God in a special way because this is his dwelling place. And for us as Catholics, of course, the Blessed Sacrament dwells in our tabernacles. So even in a unique sort of primary way, these houses of ours, these temples, cathedrals, basilicas, they're important to us. And that's why we need to look after these buildings. And I know I should have said this last week, it just came at the wrong week. We're talking about this, but we talked about stewardship last weekend. It's our duty to look after these beautiful buildings, to make them these great dwelling places of God, of course. I gave this homily about, you know, a few years, 20 years ago, and in my old parish in Acushnet, and I've been saying about, you know, let's not turn this place, you know, it's got to be remind ourselves that it's house of prayer, It's a dwelling place of God. It's a house of worship. You know, this is fundamentally what it was. Let us not let the mundane things of the world creep in on this. Look at the example of the Lord showing out the money traders and the, you know, whatever. And the same Mass, at the end of Mass, I'm doing the announcements and I'm saying, well, the Knights of Columbus are at the back of church selling Tootsie Rolls. We have the raffle tickets to be sold for this. The Legion of Mary is selling shawls for $15. And there were about six things I had to announce. And it was all about selling money things at the back of the church. And I was like, the voice in my head said, hypocrite, you know. But sometimes we've got to do these things. But let us fundamentally remember what these buildings are. They're houses of prayer. And they deserve our care as well. I was back in England a couple of years ago. I was visiting a friend in Hereford. Well, it's happened all over England. You know, we've got these beautiful old churches that, you know, the church lost in the Reformation, but they're still more or less run by the government now, the National Trusts, or, you know, under the care. The Church of England can't afford to run them because there are no people going to services, really. And they're just massive edifices that were built in the 13th and 14th century. Tremendous buildings that you think we couldn't even build nowadays. And what's happening to them? Well, in some sort of a trendy way of trying to entice people into these buildings, they're making them into coffee shops. They open a coffee shop at the beginning, right? They've got Starbucks, so you can come in and get your pumpkin latte macchiato or whatever it is with a croissant, and in the hope that you'll come in. You know, because they don't know what to do with these things anymore, because they've lost the practice of the faith in a lot of these things. But let us not, let us never forget that this building specifically, or all our Catholic churches, are houses of God. You know, this is the dwelling place of the Almighty, and this is what we celebrate today in the analogous way with St. John Lateran being the mother church of the Catholic Church throughout the world. This cathedral being the mother church of the Archdiocese of Portland. And it's our duty as Catholics to make sure that these places don't turn into venues for concerts, that they don't turn into coffee shops, that they don't turn into museums, that they're active places of worship. And that means by us practicing our faith and coming here, and also by supporting us to keep these in good condition and safe. So as we celebrate the feast of this, you know, the Mother Church of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, remember also that all our churches, no matter how spectacular they are, how beautiful they are, or how simple and poor they are, they're all the same. They're dwelling places of God and should not be treated in any other way than that.
And that is today's homily highlight. It is Monsignor Gerard O'Connor, rector at St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception.